try to squeeze into the time left a few important ideas about what Pesach is, or what you're supposed to accomplish by the Seder. So it says very clearly what you're supposed to accomplish by the Seder is Bechol dor vador chayiv adam liros es atzmo ke'ilu hu yotzem mitzrayim. You should, through the Seder, relive Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now that seems very difficult, because I was never in Mitzrayim, and it's hard for me to picture, right, what it's like to be a slave. I never was a slave. My wife said she could picture it. She just can't picture being free. The slave part she got down pat, but this freedom part she doesn't really know what it's like. I'm just the opposite. So unless we get together, it's very good. Together we can figure both parts. In any case, so very difficult. So how does it work? So basically there are three ways. The Seder has three different things that enable you to Mekayim the Chol Dor V'Dor Chayiv Adam Liros Esatz V'Kilo V'Yatzim B'Tzrayim. We're going to have to condense each one. We could spend an hour at least on each of the three. We're going to try to spend 7 minutes on each part, and that way we'll be able to do all of them. The first is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. By retelling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, you create a situation where you can really relate to the fact that as if you were there. How's that? The whole idea of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim brings to mind the fact that our religion has as its base, as the Kuzri says, events that were witnessed by an entire nation. And events that were supposedly witnessed by an entire nation are very hard to make up. In other words, the fact that we have that tradition, that these things happened 3,000 years ago to our ancestors, right, is probably true. Because the other possibilities are very improbable. And we once went through this in great detail. There must be a tape here somewhere. Because the other possibilities are that it was made up on the spot, and Moshe Rabbeinu convinced the people of the time that they saw all these things when they didn't. And then they were convinced that they saw things they didn't see, and they passed it on, and we got the tradition that they saw it when they really didn't. They were convinced by Moshe that they did. Very improbable that you can convince anybody that they saw things that they didn't see. And even if you can convince individuals, you can't convince a whole nation. And even if you can convince a whole nation, you can't convince Jews. So it's hard enough to convince Jews they saw what they did see, let alone what they didn't see. So that's very improbable that Moshe could have convinced an entire nation they saw what they didn't see, and because of that accept a religion which went against their grain anyway. All these halachas, right, like Yom Kippur and Taras HaMishpacha and Pesach, imagine the women accepting Pesach if they weren't sure that this is really something that happened. Okay, so in any case, so that's one possibility. Another possibility is, never happened, nobody convinced them, they made up a hoax. Very improbable that a whole nation would get together and make up a hoax on their children and make them keep all these laws when they know there's no purpose to it. Right? If they believe that God told them, then why not do it? But if I didn't believe God made me put on little black boxes at 5 o'clock in the morning, right, I thought that 3,000 years ago somebody got together and made this up, I never would do it. Right, that'd be out of your mind to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, put a little black box on your head because somebody 3,000 years ago decided to do it. What's the benefit? If I believe that God said it and he's going to give me a benefit from it, I'll do it. So very improbable that they would have made such a hoax, and even if they would have, they probably would have admitted to their children on their deathbeds or whatever. Third possibility is that they didn't make it up on the spot. It was made up 1,000 years later. Ezra convinced the people that their ancestors saw all this 1,000 years before. Also improbable that people would accept something, and a whole Torah, right, that somebody came along and said that nobody heard about for 1,000 years, and he discovered it, that it happened 1,000 years before. Somebody's going to ask, well, how come nobody ever heard of it except you? that really happened, such things of such magnificent things nobody ever heard of. And the other possibility is that it never happened the way the Torah said. It just got changed. You know, a few people worked overtime in Egypt, and they made a sit-down strike, and they got out, and on the way out they jumped over a puddle, and they got a few laws, and over 1,000 years it changed to what we have. And that's possible if things change. But we explained also then, you can listen to the tape, why that is also improbable, because then there should be 10, 15, 20 different versions of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There never was, only one. Obviously it didn't change. So if you listen to that tape, you'll see, I can't go into the details now, but all of those are very improbable. If, on the other hand, our religion had started like Christianity or Islam, with the word of one person or a small group of people, then it's possible that, you know, they can convince people they saw something they didn't see, or they were something they weren't, and people accept it and fit it. But since it supposedly started with something that an entire nation witnessed, how did we get that tradition? Only one of those five ways, and four of them are improbable, so it's probably happened. So, therefore, we are connected. Another thing that makes it true is, how do we know it's true? Because my parents told me. How do they know? Because their parents told them. How do they know? Because their parents told them. All the way back to the people who actually were there. Because otherwise, when did it start? Who made it up? Like we said, very improbable. Maybe just made it up like this. So if you have an unbroken chain of tradition, it links you back to the people that were there and makes it something that is very, very probably true, because otherwise, when was it made up? Very difficult to make up something that supposedly happened in front of an entire nation, like we explained. So the first aspect of how to relate and identify as if you were there is through Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, the verbal part of the Seder. I'm making a link in a chain that goes all the way back to the people who were there. I connect myself into the people who were there. I connect myself into the events, because they're probably true, because supposedly they happened in front of an entire nation. So both of those things together make it as if I was there. I can witness it as if I was there. I'm connected to the people who were there, and it's true to me like it happened, because intellectually it's pretty much for sure that it couldn't have been made up. That's one aspect. Second aspect is the second part. Pesach is Pesach, mouth that speaks. Pesach is all about mouths. Either you're eating or you're talking. That's the whole Seder. Right? That's it. Nothing more. Eat, talk. So now is the eating part. The second way of identifying with Yetzias Mitzrayim is that every 15th of Nisan we pass through the time zone that's called Yetzias Mitzrayim. This is based on the Michtam Eliyahu, that time is not a straight line, but it's like a spiral. And I like to compare it, if you know, in the shopping centers, the malls, they have elevators sometimes that go up the plastic shaft. You see the elevator going up. Imagine 365 of these shafts in a circle. And the elevator goes two ways. It goes around from shaft to shaft and then up. Every shaft is another day of the year. So we start history on shaft one, floor one, ground level. That's the first day of Rosh Hashanah, year one. And that's when Adam HaRishon was created. So in that shaft was the creation of Adam HaRishon. It permeated the whole shaft. Go around the year, the next year Adam HaRishon was already on level two, the same shaft. Came back to Aleph Tishrei, same shaft, just he's one level up. But he can look down, and in that same shaft is the memory of what happened the year before. It's there. It's real. It's not something that dissipates. You go around the 5,769th Rosh Hashanah, you're in the same shaft. And the memory of Adam HaRishon's creation is in that shaft, except you're 5,769 floors higher. That same shaft. Every time you come around the 15th day of Nisan, it's permeated with the memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You pass through that elevator shaft that is just on a higher floor. But the shaft is hollow. It's full of that memory that you have to connect into it. And you don't connect your body into it, you connect your neshama. So how do you connect your neshama into the memory banks of that time? It's like connecting a computer into another computer's memory bank. You need a cable, you need a command, and then the memory flows from one computer to the other.
A protocol.
Okay, that's beyond my expertise. Yeah. This I just easy. So Lamaisa, what creates that cable that can get into the guts, the electronic workings of one computer, and move that electronic information into the other one? The cable is Matzah, Mor, and Pesach, and it's Bedavka subtle. It's not something that, you know, you could have a Seder, right, which would be more effective seemingly. You could have a Seder where you get beaten up. Everybody goes to a Seder and somebody beats them up and makes them build pyramids, right, and then lets them free at midnight. I'm sure you'd feel more like a slave that went free after that Seder than eating some lettuce. I want to remember 210 years of slavery in Egypt, eat some lettuce. That doesn't really capture, you know, 210 years of bitterness and slavery. But it's not supposed to. It's supposed to be a very subtle hint that connects your neshama to the time zone of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because if it's too overt, it won't make the connection. If you put a nail into the externals of the computer, it's not going to do anything. It has to be something very subtle that goes into the guts of the computer. It has to go to your neshama. So these things that you eat relay and transfer the memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is permeated and saturated in the time zone that you're passing through, to your neshama, and lets the memory of Yetzias Mitzrayim flow into your neshama. And it's bedafka, subtle hints. So that's the second way, through the eatings. And therefore, just like it would be ridiculous to say, if you have to have a cable that has 9 pins with a certain length in a certain configuration, and somebody says, well, what difference does it make what that cable looks like? 9 pins, 8 pins, this length, that length, just get the cable and tie it onto the computer and the memory will go through. It's not true. It has to be exact. So too, the people at the Seder that say, how come I have to eat this much matzah, that much? Well, people are measuring it. Well, hey, matzah's matzah. I have to... No. Just as you wouldn't say with the cable, it doesn't make a difference how big and how much. It has to be exact. By the matzah too, if you eat the exact amount you're supposed to eat, the right way you're supposed to eat it, it makes the connection. If you don't, it doesn't make the connection.
Also the time is...
The time amount, everything. Right? Everything is tailor-made to make that connection. And if you don't, it doesn't make the connection. Or it makes a lesser connection, whatever. That's just the second way. The third way is more of a personal way. What we explain is two concepts. There's Mitzrayim and there's Eretz Mitzrayim. Use that to answer another question. It says in the Torah, Moshe b'nei Yisrael, the Mitzrayim, Shloshim Shana v'Arba Me'o Shana, that the Jews were in Mitzrayim 430 years. Not true. We were not in Mitzrayim 430 years. We were only in Mitzrayim 210 years. And when they translated the Torah into Greek for Talmid HaMelech, they changed that sentence and they added a few words. Because otherwise it's not true. And they said, Moshe b'nei Yisrael, the Mitzrayim, the Shara Aratzas, was 430 years. But we weren't in Mitzrayim 430 years. Yet Lamaisa, the Torah says, we were in Mitzrayim 430 years. We don't have the Greek translation. We have the original. And the original says we were in Mitzrayim 430 years. How do we understand it? The answer is, if you look at the end of the sentence, it says a little bit differently. It says, Vayihimi Kates, Shloshim Shana V'Arba Me'o Shana, at the end of 430 years, Yotzu B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim Al Tzivosam. The Jewish people left the land of Egypt. We left the land of Egypt at the end of 430 years. We were only 210 years in the land of Egypt. But we were 430 years in the state of being called Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is not a geographic place. It's a state of being. Min ha-meitzar korosiko. And you can be a Mitzrayim anywhere in the world. In Eretz Mitzrayim is the place in the world that is most intensely the state of being of Mitzrayim. What is the state of being of Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim means sequenched. Constricted, constrained, narrow, meitzar. What makes a person narrow? He can't express his entire essence. It's hemmed in. He's enslaved. He's not free to express his essence. What makes us not free? Two things. The Yetzer Hara, right, prevents us from doing what we really want to do, which is Ratzon Hashem, Ritzoneinu Lasos Ritzonecha, and Shibud Balchios, Goyim on the outside, prevent us from doing what we want to do many times. In Mitzrayim, both of those things were strong. the Egyptians, right? No slave ever escaped Egypt. And Shibud Malchios was intense, and the Yetzer Hara was intense. It was the most corrupt place in the world. So we had that Yetzer Hara constricting us from within, and the Goyim constricting us from without. So that was Eretz Mitzrayim. It was a land that most represented that state of being called Mitzrayim. But from the time God made the decree that we would be strangers in a land that wasn't ours, even in Eretz Israel, we were still constricted. So we were in the state of being a Mitzrayim 430 years. The last 210 years we were in the land of Egypt. And at the end of the 430 years we left the land of Egypt. But Egypt we were in the entire time, in Mitzrayim. It's interesting, the opposite of Mitzrayim is Min HaMeitzar Karosiko Anoni Bamerchavko Rochav, wide, open, where you can express everything. Which land is called Eretz Rechavia? Right, Eretz Israel. Eretz Tova or Rechava. Right, so Eretz Israel is there. Now, if you take that literally, it's absurd. Right, Eretz Israel is narrower than Rhode Island. What's Eretz Rechava? This is a wide land. Right, I remember I came here as a tourist, first and only time, 2 years before we moved here. It's the first time we were ever in Eretz Israel. We went, we were on the Kvish HaMahir. At that time, it was 25 years ago, it had two lanes on each side. That was it. That was the super highway of Eretz Israel, connecting Tel Aviv to Yerushalayim. That's all it did. Didn't go beyond that. And it had two lanes on each side. That was it. So I remember driving with this Israeli cab driver, and he says, "You're Americans, aren't you?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I can tell you by your accent." He said, "Tell me, in America they have roads this wide?" I couldn't resist. I said, "Yes, we do. We call them one-way streets." That's the last he spoke to me during that ride. The that kind of Eretz Rechava, this is a wide land, but that's the idea. The idea is, should I turn this over? The idea is that it's wide, meaning that you can express yourself. You're not constrained and constricted. You can express your essence, what you really want to do. Menela, that's what that pasuk means. If that's the case, let's go back to the sentence that says, "Bechol dor vador chayiv adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yotza mi Mitzrayim, not mi Eretz Mitzrayim." You don't have to picture like you were in the land of Egypt. You have to picture like you were in Egypt, meaning the state of being a Mitzrayim, and that's the pasuk. Right? Where do we learn from? Because it says, "Bavur zeh asa Hashem li betzeisi mi Mitzrayim, not mi Eretz Mitzrayim." Now, if that's the case, what does that mean? It says another Bechol Dor Vador. It says Bechol Dor Vador Chayiv Adam Liros Esatzmo Kiliyot Mitzrayim. It says another Bechol Dor Vador. Bechol Dor Vador Omdi Moleinu Lechaloseinu Vakadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodam. Every generation has its Shibud Mitzrayim and Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's not a one time thing. It's a recurring thing. And every person has their Mitzrayim and their Yitzias Mitzrayim, their personal Mitzrayim. In every generation, a person has to imagine their own personal Mitzrayim as the generation, and their own personal Mitzrayim in their own individual lives. And they have to feel the power to free themselves of those constraints and constrictions, right, and slavery to whatever it is they're a slave from, Pesach night. So it's a very individualistic thing. Aside from relating verbally to the tradition of Klal Yisrael, through Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, aside from relating to the memory of Yitzias Mitzrayim through eating matzah, mor, and Pesach, a person also Pesach night has to have an individual, very personal Yitzias Mitzrayim, where he relates to his own personal Mitzrayim, his generation's Mitzrayim, and his own personal Mitzrayim, and the ability for him to break free from that with the power that Pesach gives, and use that power then the rest of the year to work on freeing oneself from those things that constrain and constrict him from doing Ratzon Hashem. So in those three ways, a person's mekayim the mitzvah of the Chol Dor Vador Chayiv Adam Liros Atzmo Kilu Hu Yotzei Mitzrayim.